The potter took the clay and made a vessel. With his hand he put it in place. You could not see all the broken pieces, all the stars the
Take our Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I appreciate Brother Scott letting me know I'm preaching this morning. Still waiting on Pastor to ask me to preach this morning, but I guess it must have slipped his mind there. But we got a message ready for you. If you're visiting here this morning, I apologize for our pastor not being here. I say this all the time, but I believe that our pastor is one of the best preachers in all of America, and he fills this pulpit every single week. And so I'm sorry that you were stuck with me here this morning, but I do invite you to come back when our pastor is here so you can listen to him preach. I know you won't regret it. I've also said this all the time, but while our pastor is a great preacher, he's also a great pastor. As good of a preacher he is, I don't think there is not a person in this room or in this church who hasn't been blessed by pastor outside of the pulpit. And so, again, I invite you to come back when he is here. And I know you won't regret it. But you're stuck with me this morning, so we'll do our best to see what God has for us. I guess one more thing I thought about before we get started this morning. Somewhere along the line, we broke the space-time continuum last night, and so clocks changed an hour sometime. And so, you know, I always love when we get to fall back, don't you? Get that extra hour of sleep. But there is one downside to daylight savings time and falling back, and that is that if you're like me, your body's used to lunch right about now, and so I realize here in just a few seconds after we get started with the message, everybody's going to be staring at me saying, when are you going to say amen so we can go get some lunch? To that I say, well, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and so I think we can beat that this morning, I think. And so you're in Luke chapter 17. I began praying what God would have me to preach to you this morning. And this message was the first message that popped into my mind, and of course, I had got away from it. I began writing a message on the rich young ruler, but in the end, I just couldn't get away from this topic of forgiveness here in Luke chapter 17, and so that's what we're going to be preaching on this morning. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10 to get us started. Luke chapter 17, we'll read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Again, I'd like to talk to you about a message which I've entitled Biblical Forgiveness. Biblical Forgiveness. We'll go ahead and pray. Then you can be seated. Brother Chad, will you do that for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in our house this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would be with Brother Piper as he brings forth the message. Be ready to preach, Lord. Help us all to have our minds open and hearts open to you, Lord. And be ready to see what you have for us. Thank you for letting me need you. Jesus, now pray.
Amen. You can be seated. Now, I don't know about many of you, but me personally, I like to read and listen to quotes, either motivational quotes or historical quotes and things like that. You know, I often scroll through Twitter or Facebook or something like that, and you'll see a little quote there, and you'll read it, and you'll think to yourself, huh, that's kind of interesting, and then you kind of just carry on by. And so we see quotes everywhere. We see quotes from famous people. We see quotes from athletes. We see quotes from actors. We see quotes in history. But I've come to realize that I am not the best at interpreting quotes. I'm not the best at understanding them. A lot of times, especially if it's a quote from, I don't know, earlier this year or, you know, something way, way earlier in the past, and I kind of have to read, stop and read the quote 2 or 3 times to where I can understand it. If it has a lot of big words in it, I usually just ask my brother Dustin. He's pretty good with those things, and so I usually have to have someone interpret the quote for me. But there is one thing that I've learned about quotes over the years, and that's that when it comes to quotes that the world makes, quotes are usually that they make, they're usually half right, okay? So there's a little bit of truth to them, but then other parts of the quote, they just don't line up with what the scriptures teach us. And so there's a famous quote out there. I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but the quote says to err, or to err, I'm going to say to err, because it's a little easier to say, it flows a little better. To err is human, but to forgive is impossible. To err is human, but to forgive is impossible. And again, I don't know if you've heard that quote before, to err is human, but to forgive is impossible. But like I said, like many quotes, I believe this quote is half right, don't you? I believe that there is a half true statement in this quote here. The first part says, to err is human. I think we would all agree about that. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. The Bible says that we all sin. We all do those things which we wish we wouldn't have done. We all say some things we wish we wouldn't have said. We all perform actions that we end up regretting later. But to err is human. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single person in this room this morning who hasn't erred, who hasn't sinned, who hasn't committed a sin against God. There's not a person in this room this morning who hasn't broken one of God's laws. Now, I would go ahead and say there's not a person in this room who hasn't sinned against another person. There's not a person in this room who hasn't sinned against multiple people, even. Because we all sin. We are all human. We're all flesh. We're all sinners. And I don't think any of us have a problem with that. As a matter of fact, we quote another famous quote, which says, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And so we all agree that to err is human. But while we all agree that to err is human, that second part of the quote I happen to disagree with. To err is human, but to forgive is impossible. While the world is half right in saying that to err is human, based upon the scriptures, the world is dead wrong when it says, but to forgive is impossible. You know, the world would like you to believe, well, yeah, people are going to make a mistake, aren't they? I mean, people are going to make a mistake. They're going to offend you. I mean, they're going to scam you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to cheat you in some way. I mean, that's just a part of life. To err is human. But then they're going to turn around and say, but to forgive somebody of any of those things? Yeah, no, that's impossible. You can't forgive somebody of the offenses they make against you. To forgive somebody of an offense, that's impossible. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that forgiveness is possible. Amen. Forgiveness is possible. As a matter of fact, we know as Christians, as children of God, not only is forgiveness possible, but it's actually required of us as Christians based upon the Scriptures. We're going to get into that a little bit in this morning. We're going to get into what the Bible means when it talks about forgiveness, because I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding when it comes to forgiveness. But before we do that, we're just going to mention the context of our text here in Luke chapter 17. You have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 17, and if you were to read the entire book of Luke, thankfully for you and your hungry stomachs, we're not going to do that this morning. But if you read the entire book of Luke, the bulk of the book of Luke is made up of Jesus training or teaching his disciples certain lessons. Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's instructing them, he's training them, he's discipling them. And so from chapter 6 in Luke, when Jesus called his 12 disciples, he called the first church out, he gathered his 12 disciples unto him, all the way until about Luke chapter 22 or 23 or so, when Jesus gets crucified, Jesus is instructing his disciples. And Jesus would, the pattern that goes is Jesus would teach the disciples something, and then the Pharisees would come along, and they would bring up something, and then Jesus would deal with the Pharisees, turn around to his disciples, and instruct them. And then, you know, they would go across some other people, they meet up with some people, something's going on, Jesus takes care of the situation, and then he turns to his disciples, and he instructs them. So if you were to look back in Luke chapter 14, again, we're not going to do so for the sake of time, but in Luke chapter 14 and in Luke chapter 15, the context that Jesus is teaching this is, there is this group of Pharisees that came to Jesus, and they saw him heal a man on the Sabbath day. And so that was a great offense to them. They said, Jesus, you can't be doing that. And of course, Jesus instructed them that the Sabbath is meant for man. It's not meant for what the Pharisees were trying to make it out to be. And so Jesus, he kind of dealt with them there, and then he went on, and they said, they came unto him, and they said, hey, Jesus, you know, why are you eating with publicans and sinners? You're eating with these publicans and sinners in chapter 15, and so Jesus is instructing them that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, it's in that same context of Jesus telling the disciples, telling the Pharisees about why he eats with publicans and sinners, we get Luke chapter 17. We get Luke chapter 17, and Jesus says, well, publicans and sinners, they're people just like you and I. Publicans and sinners, they're going to offend you. I mean, they're going to cheat you, they're going to rob you, they're going to offend you. And he says, but there's a way that we should handle offenses. Jesus says very clearly in verse number 1 of chapter 17 that offenses are going to come. Look with me, if you will. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto them through whom they come. Okay, so Jesus clearly states here that offenses are going to come. People are going to hurt us. Again, we already talked about this. To err is human. But the question for us is this morning is how do we respond when offenses come? How are we supposed to respond based upon the Scriptures when offenses come? Jesus tells us there is a right way to respond and a wrong way to respond when offenses come into our lives. So this morning, we're going to look at these 10 verses in Luke chapter 17, the first 10 verses, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say, what Jesus has to teach us about forgiveness and dealing with offenses. In this passage, I see Jesus teach us at least three realities of forgiveness that ought to be true for every single Christian. What I want to do for this morning is I want us to look at these three realities that Jesus teaches about forgiveness, and I want us to see that Jesus expects us to apply all of these in many different situations in our lives, okay? So we're going to begin by looking at these three realities. The first of the realities that Jesus teaches from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, is that we as Christians, we must always be willing to grant forgiveness. We must always be willing to grant forgiveness. And we're going to see that in verses 1 through 4. You know, you and I as Christians, we need to always be willing to grant forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness isn't impossible. It doesn't matter what the world says, especially for the Christian, forgiveness is possible. But before we go any further, I think it's appropriate that we define what forgiveness is. And so in order to define what forgiveness is, before we do that, we're going to define what forgiveness is not. First off, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to pretend whatever offense came my way, I'm just going to pretend that it never happened. I'm just going to try and block it out of my memory. I'm just going to try to pretend that it never even existed. Well, to think that forgiveness is forgetting, well, honestly, that's pretty ignorant. Because let's be honest this morning, if someone offends you, I mean, if someone hurts you, especially if it's a great offense towards you, if someone offends you, you're not going to be able to forget that. As a matter of fact, I would say that every time you think about that person, every time you see that person, every time you talk about that person, the first thing that pops into your mind is going to be the offense that they made to you however long it was ago. We're just human. We aren't going to forget the offenses that people make to us. Well, if we can't forget about it, then did we really forgive them? And that's a question that comes up. You see, the world would like to make us think that, well, if you keep remembering it, if you keep bringing it back up, well, then you probably haven't forgiven them yet. And while that may be true that you haven't forgiven them, it's not because you haven't forgot about the situation. Because again, that's just impossible for us to do as humans. So forgiveness isn't forgetting. But secondly, forgiveness is also not excusing. Forgiveness is not excusing. You know, forgiveness is not forgetting, but it's also not excusing. Forgiving someone doesn't mean that you don't hold them accountable for the actions that they caused towards you. Forgiveness doesn't mean, well, I just excuse what they've done, and I'm just going to forgive them and excuse the whole thing and just, again, pretend like it never even happened, just continue on as if nothing even happened. Well, that's not how God deals with us when we sin, is it? When we sin and we ask God for forgiveness, we sin, and we come to Him saying, God, I did this, will You forgive me? God doesn't deal with us and just not hold us accountable for those things. He still lets us reap the consequences of our decisions, of our sin. Well, forgiveness isn't forgetting, and if forgiveness isn't excusing, well, then what is forgiveness? So what is forgiveness? Well, if I could put forgiveness into just a simple definition, I would say forgiveness is simply letting go. It's letting go. The Greek word that we get the word forgive from in your Bibles is the Greek word aphiemi. And the Greek word was used of a woman carrying a water pot, okay? So you understand that back in Bible times, they didn't have access to water and transport, or water and advanced plumbing like we do today. And so what they had to do for their water in order to drink or in order to bathe or cook with, they had to go to a water source, a well, they had to go to a river or something like that. And typically it was the women. They would carry these giant water pots. I'm sure you've seen them depicted in some stories, but the women, they would carry these water pots, and they'd take them to the water source, and they'd fill the water pot up to the brim, and then they'd carry it back to where they were going. So if a woman, when she had the water in the water pot, and she was taking it back to her village or wherever, if she were to drop her water pot, they would use this Greek word here, aphiemi, which means, again, to forgive. So she dropped her water pot, and they would say she forgave the water pot. She forgave it. She released it. She let it go. She dropped it. She didn't hold on to it. And that's, again, that's the simple definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply releasing someone or something from the offense they made against you. It means to let go. Forgiveness means to let go, to not hold the offense against someone any longer. But most importantly, I think this is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means to release yourself from the bitterness of the offense that was made against you. Forgiving someone means to release yourself from the bitterness of the situation that they made against you. So keep all of this in mind while we read again verses 1 through 3 of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." All right, so Jesus is telling us here in these first three verses, he's telling his disciples, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, if he make an offense against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So Jesus is not telling his disciples here, if someone offends you, then you just need to forget all about the situation. He's also not saying if someone offends you, you shouldn't hold them accountable for the situation either, because he says if they repent, if they come and ask you for forgiveness, you're supposed to forgive them. Someone comes up to you and they says, "Hey, I did this to you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Based upon what we just read in verse number 3, Jesus taught his disciples that the answer is always, "Yes, I forgive you." You say, "Wait, hold on now. You mean every single time someone offends me and turns around and asks for my forgiveness, I'm supposed to forgive them?" Well, look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Okay, so who am I going to offend here? Let's offend Brother Scott. So let's say I offend Brother Scott. You know, I made a comment about him having a bad hair day, and he took great offense to it. You know, he was all mad about it. Well, then I, of course, you know, I feel bad because I begin to get convicted because he actually doesn't have any hair. So I began to get convicted about this whole thing. And so I turn to Brother Scott and I come up to him and I say, hey, will you forgive me? Based upon what we just read in Luke chapter 7, verse number 3 and 4, his answer is supposed to be yes. Yes, I forgive you. Okay, if I were to offend someone else, if I were to offend Brother Peliquin here, I don't know what I would offend him for, but if I were to offend him and I say, hey, will you forgive me? Based upon what Jesus said, if I repent, if I come up to him asking for his forgiveness, based upon what Jesus said, he says, you're supposed to say, yes, I forgive you. Well, hold on a second. Every single time, every single circumstance, I mean, what if they do it many, many times? You know, are we supposed to forgive them then? Well, Jesus says, if you read in verse number 4 again, what does he say? He says, if he trespassed against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turned to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Hey, did you catch that, husbands? You get 7 times a day. I mean, you get 7 of them. My fiance's down this morning. Someone relay that message to her. You get 7 of them. 7 times a day, and he come to thee saying, I repent. You know, hey, will you forgive me? 7 times in a day, Jesus says, your answer is, yeah, yes, I do. I forgive you. Well, someone asked, well, Brother Josh, why did Jesus say 7 times in a day? You know, I'll be honest, I've did some research on this, and I've read conflicting reports. I've seen some that say, according to the Pharisees, you're only required to forgive someone 3 times in a day. And so by Jesus saying 7 times in a day, well, that was more than double. You know, I've read someone else who said, well, the Pharisees' number of forgivable offenses was 7 times in a day, so Jesus was just picking their number. Me personally, I wonder if Jesus wasn't just saying, well, surely husbands won't do more than 7 in one day. You know, 7 in one day. Okay, so ladies, what happens on number 8? You know, what happens on number 8? The 8th time in the day, he comes up to you and he says, hey, you know, it's the 8th time today. I'm sorry. You know, will you forgive me? Ladies, what is our answer? Just don't do it anymore. Yes. Yes, I forgive you. I forgive you. Every single time, every single offense, every single circumstance, no matter the number of reps, if someone approaches you asking for your forgiveness, the answer is always yes. We as Christians, we ought always be willing to grant forgiveness. Of course, you remember what Jesus, didn't Jesus tell the same thing to Peter? We're not going to turn there, but you know the story. You remember, I think it's Matthew chapter 18, but Jesus or Peter comes to Jesus and he says, well, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Again, 7 times? And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Of course, it's not 490 either. We know that. The point is, every time someone asks us for forgiveness, we forgive them every single time. We as Christians, we ought always be willing to grant forgiveness. Again, no matter the offense, no matter the person, we must always be willing to grant forgiveness. And especially, as we see a little bit later, considering how much we have been forgiven, we should always be willing to grant forgiveness. But Jesus said in verse number 1, offenses are going to come. We must always be willing to grant forgiveness. Not forget the offense, not excuse the behavior of the offense, simply let go, releasing ourselves from the bitterness of the situation. And Jesus teaches us as Christians, we ought to be willing to grant forgiveness every single time. So seeing the first reality of forgiveness that Jesus teaches, number 1, we ought always be willing to grant for forgiveness, no matter the offense, no matter the circumstance, no matter the number of reps. But then secondly, Jesus also teaches that there are no excuses for failing to forgive. There are no excuses for failing to forgive. We see that in verses 4 through 9. You know, we like to make excuses why we can't forgive somebody, don't we? I mean, I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes I just want to come up with something, a reason why I don't have to forgive them. You know, but I believe that in verses 4 through 9, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus rejects the 3 common excuses that people give for reasons why they shouldn't forgive somebody. And Jesus says that none of these three reasons are good reasons to fail to forgive somebody. Okay, first off, Jesus rejects the fruit excuse. Jesus rejects the fruit excuse. You know what the fruit excuse is, don't you? It's where you say, you know, I want to forgive them, but I'm just not going to forgive them quite yet. You know, I want to forgive them, but I'm just going to wait until they prove to me that they're truly sorry for what they've done to me. You know, I want to forgive them, but just not quite yet. Once I see some repentance, once I see some fruit, once I see some evidence that they're really sorry for what they've done for me, well, then I'll forgive them. But look back at what we read at verses 3 and 4 in Luke chapter 17. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and seven times in a day turn to thee again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Jesus says if someone comes to us and asks us to forgive them, we forgive them immediately every single time. You know, it's not our job to judge if they were truly sorry. It's our job to forgive. It's not our job to question, well, did they really mean it? I mean, do they really want my forgiveness? Do they really mean it? Shouldn't I wait to see if they actually mean it first? Jesus said, that's not our job. Our job is to forgive. You know, I'm not going to forgive them quite yet. I'm going to wait just a little bit. I'm going to wait maybe a month. Come back and talk to me in a month, and then I'll see if I forgive you or not. You know, when Brother Scott, you know, when he shows that he was truly sorry, then I'll forgive him. You know, when Brother Scott comes to me and says, hey, will you forgive me? You know, I'll say, you know what, let me think about that. You know, let me think about that. Come back to me in a month. Then we'll see if I forgive you or not. Let me see some evidence first. Let me see some fruit first. Of course, we like to put it this way in our minds. Well, you know, it's not like I'm not going to forgive them. It's not like I'm not going to forgive them eventually. I'm just putting off for forgiveness. I'm just putting off a little bit of the forgiveness until I see some fruit, until I see some evidence. Again, it's not like I'm refusing to forgive them. I'm just going to take a wait-and-see approach. But hey, as soon as I see some evidence, as soon as I see some fruit, well, yeah, then I'll forgive them. You know, as soon as I see their apology is sincere, then I'll forgive them. No, that's not what Jesus says at all. He says, if they come and approach you asking for your forgiveness, you forgive them every single time without waiting to see fruit or evidence of it. That's not an acceptable excuse. The fruit excuse is not an acceptable excuse to Jesus for not forgiving someone. But hey, we like to come up with some other excuses, don't we? Jesus rejects the fruit excuse. Well, what about the faith excuse? What about the faith excuse? If you will, look at verses 5 and 6 in our chapter in Luke chapter 17. Jesus said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay? So up until this point, Jesus has just told his disciples, people are going to offend you. They're going to offend you, and you must always be willing to grant forgiveness no matter what, even if they haven't shown fruit that they're truly sorry. So the disciples said to Jesus, they said, whoa, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know what they're saying? They're saying, you know what? God, I just don't think I have the faith to forgive someone. You know, sometimes people can offend us so deeply, they can hurt us so badly that we think to ourselves, you know what? I just don't think I can forgive this person. I just don't think I can do it. I just don't think I have it in me. You know, I want to forgive them. I really want to forgive them, but I just don't think that I have it in me to forgive them. You know what we're saying? We're saying, Lord, we need some more faith. Lord, increase our faith. That's what the disciples were saying here. They said, Lord, increase our faith. If you gave us more faith, well, yeah, then we can forgive someone every single time, no matter the offense. Well, what does Jesus tell them? In the context of forgiveness, he said, if you had the tiniest bit of faith, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, if you had any faith at all, he said, you could say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and go be planted over here. You know, people like to take this out of context. They like to take this illustration out of context and say, well, if you just had enough faith, then you could do whatever you want. You know, if you just had enough faith, you can make anything that you want to have happen. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's using it in the context of forgiveness. He says, if you have enough faith, if you have any faith at all, then you can do something extraordinary. If you have any faith at all, come on, let me help you out here this morning. Do you have any faith at all? Are you saved here this morning? If the answer to that is yes, then you have all of the faith you need in order to forgive anybody of any offense at any time, no matter the person, no matter the circumstance. If we have any faith at all, Jesus says, you have enough faith. That's not an excuse. Don't use that as an excuse not to forgive somebody. You have plenty of faith. That's not an excuse not to forgive somebody. You know, the disciples, they make me laugh a little bit here. Jesus says, we're to forgive every single time, no matter what. And they said, whoa, Lord, we don't have enough faith. And Jesus says, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. No matter the offense, no matter the person, a lack of faith is not an excuse to not forgive somebody. So Jesus rejects the fruit excuse. He rejects the faith excuse. And then thirdly, and my personal favorite, Jesus rejects the feeling excuse. The feeling excuse. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just flat out don't want to forgive somebody. You know, I just don't want to do it. Again, it's not that I can't do it. It's not that, you know, I couldn't do it if I don't want to, but I just don't want to do it. You know, I just, for whatever reason, maybe it's the person, maybe it's just the severity of the offense, but I just don't want to forgive them. I just don't feel like doing it. Well, Jesus has something to say about that as well. Look, if you will, at verses 7 through 9. He gives us this illustration. Verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? It will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not." Okay, so here's what Jesus is saying here. He says, let's say you had a servant, okay? So you had a servant, and he's in the field, he's plowing the cattle, he's doing servant things, he's working hard. He's out there in the field all day long, toiling and laboring away, doing what servants do. Okay, well then, you know, after his shift or whatever, he comes back into the house, and it's time for dinner. And so you're kind of hungry at this point. And so you tell him, hey, you know, make me some dinner. Well, at that point, let's just think with me for a little bit. If you have a servant, and he's out working in the field all day long, you know, he's working and he's laboring, and it comes back in for dinner time, and the master says, well, make me some food first, and then you can eat. Is he really going to feel like making dinner at that point? Is he going to feel like serving the master first at that point? Well, probably not. You know, let's pick on someone else, okay? Let's pick on the Scots again, okay? So let's see if we can make this a little more real, okay? So let's say that Miss Kathy has been working hard all day long, you know, as Miss Kathy always does. And so she's working real hard all day long. She's laboring away. She's, you know, doing what she does at work, you know, working really hard. And Brother Scott, he took the day off that day, okay? So he's at home. He's being lazy. He's being Brother Scott. And so he's at home, again, she's been working all day, and he's at home. And so the first thing he says to her when she walks in and, you know, when she comes back from work is, hey, you know, make me some food. You know, I don't know Miss Kathy. Maybe Miss Kathy would, but I would think that she probably isn't feeling like making him food at that point. If the first thing he says when she came back in is, hey, make me some food, you know, she's probably not feeling that at that point. You know, maybe that's just me. Maybe Miss Kathy's different. But again, if that was me in that situation, I wouldn't feel like doing that. But Jesus' point is, it doesn't matter if you feel like forgiving someone or not. You know, this is your servant. They're supposed to do it anyway. As a matter of fact, many times you're probably not going to feel like forgiving somebody. But for us as Christians, Jesus tells us it doesn't matter if we feel like it or not. We forgive anyway. It's the feeling excuse. You know, those of you who have children, you know, when you tell them, hey, go home and take out the trash. And they say, eh, I don't feel like it. Or, you know, hey, clean your room. Eh, I don't feel like it. It's the feeling excuse. We don't use it in any other context. Jesus doesn't accept it in the context of forgiveness. The feeling excuse is not an acceptable excuse to Jesus as a reason not to forgive somebody. So Jesus rejects the fruit excuse, he rejects the faith excuse, and he rejects the feeling excuse. Any other excuse you can come up with. So far we've seen two realities of forgiveness for the Christian. Number one, we ought always be willing to grant forgiveness. Secondly, there are no excuses for failing to forgive. And then thirdly, we are to continue to forgive simply because it's the right thing to do, because it's our job to do as Christians. We see that in verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." So Jesus goes on in verse number 9, continuing that illustration about the servant. And he says, okay, you remember that story? He says, so the servant's been working hard in the field all day, and he comes back in, and you tell him to make some dinner. And so let's just pretend, for example, he does. He goes ahead, and he does what he's supposed to do. He prepares the meal. He serves you the meal, and then he goes and he eats his dinner. Well, the Bible, Jesus says this in verse number 9. He says, doth he thank that servant because he did those things which were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. He says, so if the servant ends up making dinner like he's supposed to, does his master thank him? Does his master reward him for doing what he's supposed to do? He says, I trow not, I think not. Jesus says, you know, the servant shouldn't be rewarded for doing what he's supposed to do. He shouldn't be thanked for doing his job. Look, it's nice to thank people for the things that they do, but it shouldn't be expected that we get rewarded for doing the things that we're supposed to do. You know, if you have a job and you do that job, you shouldn't expect, anything other than what you're supposed to be compensated for doing your job. You shouldn't expect some praise. You shouldn't expect some reward or special blessing just for doing your job. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, when I was growing up, my parents, they never thanked me for doing my chores. You know, they never thanked me for cleaning my room, probably because I always had dust and do it. But they never thanked me for cleaning my room. They never thanked me for taking out the trash. You know, it would have been nice sometimes, perhaps, to be treated to some ice cream for taking out the trash, but that never happened, you know. We never received an allowance as children for doing chores. Our allowance was that we got dinner every night. You know, and every now and then on those few rare occasions, when I was good for a long string of time, my parents might have done something to show their appreciation, but I had no right to expect that. I had no right to expect any reward for doing what I was supposed to do. And that's what Jesus is telling us about for forgiveness here in verse number 10. He says, likewise, when ye have done those things which were commanded you, we say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus turns around and says, when you forgive somebody, don't turn around and say, okay, God, where's my reward? You know, I forgave them. I forgave this person. Where's my reward at? What's in it for me? How are you going to bless me for reward for forgiving this person? You know, sometimes when we forgive someone of offense, well, you might think to yourself, God must be very proud of me. He must be very proud that I forgave that person. I mean, they did this to me, and here I am, I forgave them. You know, God must be very, very proud of me. So you think to yourself, okay, God, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to bless me because I forgave them? How are you going to repay me for the great deed that I've done in forgiving someone? That's not what Jesus teaches here. Jesus teaches the exact opposite. He says, when you forgive somebody, you're doing your duty as a Christian. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing what children of God are supposed to do in forgiving somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. There are great benefits for forgiving someone. There are great benefits in forgiving someone. One of the main benefits of forgiving someone is that you get released from holding on to the offense and getting bitter over it. There's another benefit in forgiving someone. You know, turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, you'll remember this story. We have time to read it. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, if you will, let's look at verses 23 through 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. Hang in there, it's almost lunchtime. The Bible says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into a prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Notice verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we know this story. This man owed this other man 10,000 talents. Again, I did some research on this and I found some contradictory numbers. But the consensus was that 10,000 talents was about $14 or $15 million here in U.S. dollars currency today. So this man, he owed this master millions of dollars, we would say. Millions of dollars, a whole lot of money. And his master was ready to make him pay back all the debt. He said, you know what, you're going to sell your wife, you're going to sell your children, and you're going to pay back all the debt. But then, of course, this man, you know this story, he cried out saying, Master, have mercy on me. Just give me some time, I promise. I'll pay back all the debt. And his master looked on him with compassion, and he said, you know what, forget about it. And he forgave him all that debt. Again, of course, you know the story. Then he turns around and finds this guy who owes him 100 pence. Again, found some contradictory numbers on 100 pence, but the consensus I gathered, it was less than 100 U.S. dollars today. And so he found this guy that owed him 100 bucks, and he said, hey, pay me my 100 bucks that you owe me. And so, of course, this man, he kind of said the exact same words verbatim, if you read the text, the exact same words that he used to his master that he owed millions to. He said, just give me enough time, I promise I'll pay you back. Just give me a little bit of time, and I'll pay you back the $100. And he said, no, you'll pay me now. He says, well, I don't have it. So he throws him in prison. And of course, you know the story that goes that the servants heard about it, the other servants, and they turned him back into their master. And he came on him and he said, hey, what's going on here? I forgave you of so much, and you won't forgive this guy of just $100. I forgave you of $1 million, and you won't forgive this guy of $100. And then again, Jesus makes this statement in verse number 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man or everyone his brother their trespasses. You know why you ought always be willing to grant forgiveness? You should always be willing to grant forgiveness because you never know when you'll need somebody else or for God to forgive you. Of course, we like it when we need someone to forgive us. We say, you know what? Amen. That's right. People ought to forgive me. You know, hey, someone ought to forgive me. You know, they shouldn't be coming up with excuses. They shouldn't be coming up with reasons why they can't forgive me. I mean, I approached them. I said I was sorry. They ought to forgive me. But then we'll turn around and forgive someone else. And to use Jesus' illustration, a lot of times we won't forgive them of a lesser offense. And if you think about it, all of our offenses that are committed against us are nothing in comparison to the offenses we make against God and that He forgives us on a daily basis. You know, if we don't forgive others, why should we expect God or anyone else to forgive us? And this is not even looking at the fact this morning that if you're saved here this morning, that God has forgiven you of so much. God has forgiven you of more than in comparison that you could ever repay. God has forgiven us of all of our sin and our sin that sent Jesus to die on the cross for, and yet we refuse to forgive others. Again, if we don't forgive others, why would we expect God or anyone else to forgive us? But getting back to our main point, kind of got away from it there. We don't forgive because we want God to forgive us. We don't forgive others because we want others to forgive us back. We are to forgive simply because it's our duty to do as Christians. It's the right thing to do. We shouldn't be doing it, again, seeking reward or profit or anything like that. We shouldn't be doing it because we want God to forgive us. We shouldn't do it because we want others to forgive us. We do it simply because it's what Jesus tells us to do, because it's the right thing to do as Christians. We don't forgive seeking praise or benefit or any other motive other than, well, this is the right thing to do. Okay, so I forgave. Where's my reward? Jesus says, what reward? You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're just an unprofitable servant. He says, well, are we going to reward you for that? I think not. There is no reward in forgiving. So today we've seen the three realities of forgiveness that Jesus teaches here. The first is we ought always be willing to grant forgiveness. We recognize forgiveness is not forgetting, it's not excusing, but it's letting go, refusing to hold on to the bitterness of the situation, refusing to hold the offense against the other person. Secondly, we saw there are no excuses for failing to forgive. Not the fruit excuse, not the faith excuse, and not the feeling excuse, nor any other excuse we could come up with. There are no excuses for failing to forgive. Then thirdly, we're to continuously forgive simply because it's the right thing to do. We don't do it seeking praise. We don't do it seeking reward. We don't do so that others will forgive us. We don't do so that God will forgive us. We do so simply because it's the right thing to do. So let me give you a couple things of application to take away from this, and then I'll give you an illustration to close this up and we'll be done. First off, maybe there's somebody here this morning and they say, you know what? I don't think I've ever been forgiven by God. I don't know if I'm saved here this morning. You know, if you're here this morning and if you don't know if your sins are forgiven, if you don't know if there's peace between you and God, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven when you die, well, I got good news for you, my friend, and that is that we have a God that is a God of forgiveness. We have a God of forgiveness. You know, maybe you don't know what it means to be saved, but you just know, you know what? I don't think my sins have ever been forgiven by God. Again, if that's you here this morning, I want to tell you something, that there is someone whose forgiveness you need to seek out. There is a God in heaven who has been offended by your sin in your life. You say, well, I've never sinned against God. I've never done that. Well, God says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You know, I can go on and on, but I'm pretty sure I covered everybody there with those few commandments. And the Bible says that all breaking those commandments is sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, separation of God, and eternity in hell. The payment for the offense of sin is death and hell. But there is some good news. God sent His Son to die on the cross in your place. And He rose again, completing the payment for your sin. And if you will believe that by faith and come to God in repentance, asking God to forgive you of your sins and save you, then praise God, He says He will. Amen. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. One of the things I love most about our God is He is always willing to grant forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, I know it refers to saved people, but it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we'll ask. You know, if you're here this morning, if you're not saved, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, God is faithful and just to forgive you if you will approach Him and ask Him. You know, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, here in just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation, and you can come down to the altar, and we can get you with someone with a Bible, and then they can show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. So if that's you here this morning, I invite you to come during the invitation. Secondly, maybe you're here this morning, and you are saved. You know, in a message like this, I'm not sure how God may have spoken to someone. Maybe you're here today and God has brought someone to your mind that you have never forgiven. You know, you've came up with all of these excuses in your mind why you haven't forgiven this person. You know, you find yourself using the fruit excuse or the faith excuse or the feeling excuse or some other excuse we didn't mention this morning. If that's you here today, hear the teachings from Jesus. Forgive that person. Why don't you come down to the altar and ask God to help you forgive them? Forgive them of it. Let it go. Release it. Don't hold on to the bitterness of it anymore. Forgive them today. Maybe you're here this morning and you are saved and there's some areas of your life where you're sinning against God right now. You know, maybe you're committing some sin against God and you need to come this morning and ask God to forgive you of those sins that you've been sinning against Him. The Bible says, as we just said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe during the invitation time, God would have you come down to the altar and ask Him to forgive you and to keep you from committing those sins over and over again, so you don't have to keep coming to Him asking for forgiveness about the same thing. If that's you here this morning, you're certainly invited to come during the invitation time. Maybe you're here this morning and there's something that you've committed yourself in the past. And I was thinking about this. Maybe there's somebody here who has not forgiven their self of an offense that they made towards someone else. Perhaps it was a bad decision, a sin you've committed in your past that's been plaguing you for a long time. And you know, you've taken the situation to God and God has forgiven you, but you've never forgiven yourself. Well, if that's the case, hey, we must always be willing to grant forgiveness, no matter the offense, no matter the circumstance, no matter the person, and that includes ourselves. You know, if God has forgiven us, I think there's something wrong when God forgives us, but then we don't forgive ourselves of a situation or an offense. Maybe God would have you come this morning and ask God to help you to forgive yourself over something. Lastly, if you're saved here this morning, perhaps in light of this message, it wouldn't be a bad idea to come and thank God for His forgiveness of you, for saving you. Hey, aren't you glad that God didn't make an excuse for you why He wouldn't save you, why He wouldn't forgive you? You know, when was the last time you prayed and thanked God? You know what, God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for forgiving me of my sins. And thank You for not making excuses why you shouldn't have had to. You know, I'm certainly thankful for God's forgiveness, aren't you? We need to listen to the teachings of Jesus and forgive others as well. I want to close with one final illustration. I came across this illustration several years ago, and it just goes right along with our message here this morning. So I'll give you this and we'll be done. So there was this couple that decided to keep what they called an offense box. An offense box, okay, so basically it was just a shoe box. And so this husband and this wife, they decided, you know what we're going to do? Every single time for the entire month, when someone offends the other person, we're going to write it down on a note card, and we're going to put it in this offense box. And then at the end of the month, we'll review it with each other, and then we'll go over the offenses together, okay? So they did this for the entire month. The husband and wife, every time that one of them was offended by the other, they wrote it down on a note card, put it in the box, and then it came time to review the offenses, okay? So and the wife went first. She pulls out her note cards, and she reads something like this. July 10th, didn't help with the laundry. You know, July 18th, didn't come home on time. July 21st, didn't call me. And so she read off this long list of offenses that the husband did to his wife over this month. Well, then the husband takes out his cards and he begins to read them off. July 1st, I love you. July 2nd, I love you. July 3rd, I love you. What the husband did was at each offense, he forgave his wife, and instead of writing out the offense, he just decided to tell his wife he loved her instead. When we forgive others, we show them the love of Christ. I was thinking about this yesterday. What is more Christ-like than forgiving someone else? Amen. What is more Christ-like than forgiving someone else? I can't think of anything. If you remember, we opened with a quote this morning. The world says, to err is human, but to forgive is impossible. Jesus says, for the child of God, to err is human, but forgiveness, not only is it possible, but it's a great way to show the love of Christ to others. Is there someone that you need to forgive today? Again, what better way to show the love of Christ than to forgive someone else? Thank you for your attention today. Stand with me, if you will. We'll have a verse of invitation. We'll have every head bowed and every eye closed.